Hello and welcome to the ongoing Lean Specs series, starting out in 2017. This is Cindy F. Solomon of the Global Product Management Talk and Startup Product Academy here with Malcolm.
Hello, this is Malcolm Knapp with the Engineer Accelerator. We are a professional training program for hardware engineers who are looking to gain skills to help them be effective in their careers.
And I work with thought leaders and people in career transitions into technology and product management. And this is about developing the Lean Spec, which is a learning opportunity, but also I think a very powerful tool for product managers, founders, innovators and entrepreneurs who have a product idea and need to develop it and document it so that what is known about the product, what isn't known about the product, and what is necessary to proceed to produce excellent product results, this process enables that.
Yeah, so as of last time, we talked about sort of motivation for a sort of product manager to take, you know, go through this process. So what we're doing this time is we're going to sort of shift gears a little bit and start focusing in on sort of what are the sort of actual skills, what are the things that people will need to learn or should learn to be able to do the process itself. And this will be sort of the sort of overarching theme for the next sort of series, sort of couple talks. We'll be talking with various people in different domains, software, UX, you know, a hardware,
design,
and seeing how the Lean Spec applies to their situation, applies to the issues that they're dealing with, and then sort of seeing what skills they you would need if that's the sort of area that you're in to sort of go through this process.
As well as what process they currently use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and to sort of see, you know, how the sort of interaction between the two, basically.
Because in some cases, I would assume or I would expect that everyone does have a process. It's not standardized.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps it's not as overarching as mm-hmm. I see the potential of the Lean Spec being in incorporating the cross-functional perspectives on the product at various points in time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this is part about, you know, part of the power is that it can sort of integrate a wide range of people together. In, like we were saying last time, in sort of a bilateral fashion. You don't have to have everybody in one room, you know, all hashing it out and you're done. That doesn't work. The moment you get more than like three people in a room and things take, you know, projects and meetings take too long and you know, don't get anything done. But this, so part of the power is in the sort of team setting. But I think it's also can be powerful in the individual setting or the sort of where you can sort of use that to your advantage as well.
And I also see it as a powerful project management tool.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the people that, if they're on the team, they have a tool. This is their, they exist to
mm-hmm.
make,
yeah.
to be responsible for this. And what has happened in so many ways in the various startups and the various flat organizations is there isn't a project management discipline or expertise in part
mm-hmm.
of the team. And people have the ability to just run forward without needing any other expertise to get their product underway.
Yeah, so I think that this can definitely help. Once you have a Lean Spec together, it definitely maps directly into the project management of the build. It helps you scale how much time things are going to take, because the more you're trying to do, the more longer things take to do, and the more risk you have and the sort of more complexity you have. So I think this is definitely applicable to project managers as well.
Great.
So what I wanted to do now, though, is to sort of start talking about, you know, this is, we're leading up to a training is the whole goal of this. And so, you know, one of the things I'm sort of wanted to start thinking about is the skills that you need to do a Lean Spec.
The skills that you need to actually apply and implement the Lean Spec or to attend the training?
Well, no, so that you will learn in the training. The idea, and so what we're trying to do is to sort of see where the boundaries are for this training, and what we're asking people to come in with versus what will be training in, you know, specifically training for them.
So marketing terms, who's our target audience?
Yes.
But who would benefit the most initially?
Well, it's the target audience, but it's also like you're coming in. Once you've identified the people who would benefit, they're going to come in and do the training. What are they going to learn? You know, what are the skills of that sort of thing? How much is going to be covered? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
So then out of this, we'll get the narrative to talk about the unique value, the value of this product that we're actually launching.
Yeah. And so I think to start with, and this is, we sort of been touching on this, is this idea of structuring information. You know, we talked about an informational hierarchy. We talked about that every project, there's information within it that depends on other information. And so, the board outline for a printed circuit board depends on the shape of the mechanical design, and so forth. There's a whole range of this, whether you're going to use a key, a display with a touchscreen or an external keypad, or if that sort of thing has a big impact on user experience, on the mechanical design, on all this sort of stuff. And so what we're trying to do is to sort of, it's about structuring this, all the information that flows through a project. It's all very messy. People store stuff in wikis and try and sort of do documentation that way. But even then, I've sort of seen this as well. It's sort of done. Done in sort of a haphazard fashion, and it's also, I think, a bit of a skill to start thinking about information and projects in a hierarchical fashion. For example, when you're thinking about the display, for example, you can sort of say we have an LCD. That's true, maybe what you do, but if you're thinking about that, really what you have is, if you think about hierarchically, you can say, well, we have a display, and we've chosen, we're going to have a sort of placeholder called display, and then the one we chose is an LCD screen. Setting it up in that way, not saying not making it sense that the display is an LCD screen. It's more like display is sort of a, they talk about it in, it's like a key value pair is actually a description for storing data in programs. Storing it with the key, which is display, and then the LCD, which is the value you chose, makes it really easy to search for and to organize in the whole hierarchy. So I think that this is the first thing that I wanted to sort of talk to you about, is that this sort of skill, I've seen it with the students I've go through, is that it's, it, do you see that as a sort of skill? Does that resonate with your experience? I mean, when you're talking about projects, do you talk about them, or products, do you talk about them in a sort of hierarchical fashion? What do you think about that?
Well, generally when I come in as a coach with someone who has an idea for the product, they can describe what the end result is, and I go first, almost from a design thinking point of view, what's the customer experience? What is the end result that we're trying to achieve? And then let's walk back from that. All the way, and I usually don't walk all the way far back to where you're starting, because that's for engineers, that's for UX people, that's for the technical people to take what we have identified as what the experience should be, and therefore what the features need to be, but how it's made, I don't go that far back.
Well, yeah, but so, I mean, that's the thing, that's the sort of the push that I have about the lean spec, is that, this is the whole thing, is that you eventually have to get there.
Right.
And so how do you map this experience into actual something that will be made?
Right, so I bring what I've documented is here are the requirements to the engineers.
Yeah.
And then usually, depending on if it's software, if it's web, if it's an area that I do have the expertise in, then I stay in the conversation. If it's hardware or consumer goods, or I might be in the room, but I can't necessarily drive it other than to represent the end user experience.
I see.
And to map it against, is this aligned with what it needs to achieve?
Okay. So I guess this is a good, this is a sort of a skill that, I mean, so another way to put it is describing, is trying to figure out what are what are the features and what are the characteristics of those features.
Right, and what I call a feature is a touch point, is an end result.
Yeah.
What you call a feature is a technical detail.
Yeah, it's associated with an actual piece of hardware a lot of times. So this actually gets into, you know, what we, you know, I think one of the discussions we'll have in the near future is about language, and so the feature is used in different domains in completely different ways.
Right, and so the context is very important to what is a feature.
Yeah, and so I think that, you know, and so that's the best, I mean, when I can say functionality, you know, maybe we can say use the word functionality, when you have some functionality you want, what are the characteristics of that functionality? And that's another way to describe it. Sort of, if you have display, you know, is it going to be in color, for example? Is it a color display? That's a characteristic. And that's lower in the hierarchy than saying you need a display, you know. And then there's a sort of hierarchy above that, which I call the sort of device, you know. Devices are sort of groupings of functionality or groupings of features. And those groupings are sort of, you know, you have to make a decision about the features, maybe, or functionality, maybe, you need it, but how you group it is, you can group in many, many different ways. But then you have to group things into devices, and then the whole thing is the product. So at the highest level of this sort of hierarchy we're talking about, there's the product. And
I think actually we have to start when we're defining, because what people are relating to what the product is different at these different phases.
Yeah.
And, you know, my desire is not to necessarily codify or exclude any point of view, but I think it helps to break these down into chunks.
Yeah, so, I mean, so what do you mean, sort of, for example, like?
You know, what you're referring to as product, is that the huge end result for me, you know, product, this is the thing I take to market and I'm, you know, launching to generate revenue.
Well, so that's the thing, I think one of the other things to put into this is that's the big question, like, what is the thing you're making? And a lot of times, especially when hardware is involved, folks say product and they just look at the artifact.
Well, they look at the features. They product therapy. The other night, someone came in and they said, "Gosh, maybe it's only in Europe, but they're up against when people are explaining this technical new product they want to launch. They're only talking about the features.
Yeah,
and never talking about anything else. And they couldn't wrap their head around. Well, what does it do? Who is it for? Yeah. What's the benefit of those features?
Yeah.
But who, you know, and it was the engineers who are, all they care about are the features.
Yeah, and so I think that, I mean, again, who is your target audience, you know? I think that that boundary line about what is the product, I mean, you know, many, many products now have an app associated with them. They have hardware, but they have an app, they have a website, they have a, you know,
they have a whole ecosystem, you know, and partners,
and so,
their platforms,
and so
really.
So especially when you're getting into that, and this is part of why it's sort of useful to go through this process, is you sort of, you know, figure out where the boundary line is of your product. And so you don't get focused in on just one little bit of it. If you're a hardware engineer, you need to know that there's going to be an app associated with this. You may not code the app, but you need to know it exists. And then whoever is doing the product management of it also needs to acknowledge the time and effort that's going to take to create all the different pieces. But, you know, again, to sort of narrow back down, we're talking about skills that people will learn. And this putting a product into a hierarchy of this, of characteristics and functionality and product and device, and you know, these are the words that I'm using. And again, it's hardware focused, and this is one reason why talking to different domains is useful to sort of say, you know, what other words make sense to people. But putting things into that hierarchy, I think, is one of the really, really basic skills that is so useful, because when you have things in a sort of functional or feature and then characteristics of those, it becomes very easy to sort of swap in and out characteristics. You know what is a characteristic and what's not. And the characteristics determine the exact hardware you buy, or the UX you do, or the design you do. That sort of, you know, defines that. And again, the highest level in this informational hierarchy of the whole product, you know. And so I think that may be the first skill to talk of that we're sort of trying to say, is that the first thing you're learning in the lean spec is the way to look at a product, not in terms of pros, and you know, which is what, you know, most people sort of they read paragraphs, you know, and you can have descriptions of products and paragraphs perfectly fine, but to reorganize that same information, it's not different, but just to reorganize it into a hierarchical form, and that is one of the first things that helps you see again where the edges of the product is,
the
and all the sort of starting to seeing these sort of things. It also means you can put the information into a form I call it sort of fractal, you know, this is the documentation,
yes.
The fractal documentation form. A paragraph is definitely not a fractal way of storing information.
Right.
It's, you know, you can't zoom in and make a smaller paragraph inside that. It's very good for certain things, but when you are storing things in a hierarchical format, we talked about the sort of expandable list. It allows you to put the information into that expandable list and then be able to manage it much better.
And we had talked in one of the episodes about naming.
Yeah.
In order to do that, you have to be able to name each article.
Yes, and so that's the thing, I think, is that by going, putting this thing, you are forced to name the functionality chunks, the atomic bits of functionality, with something, you know.
And that's where looking at the different types of products, there will be precedents of
yes.
how things are referred to.
Yes, yes, that's fine. And, you know, I do it all the time, and regulators mean something in hardware, and they always do. But you know, what type of regulator is it? You know, what is it a temperature sensor? You know, what, you know, is it the sort of refrigerator, you know, the icebox sensor, or is it the, you know, the sort of, you know, stand, you know, the sort of freezer sensor, or is it the refrigerator sensor? You know, this sort of, there's, you know, like, what is it? It's, you can go further than just saying the generic term. You can actually sort of, and then that helps. This is part of the languaging part we talked about. Doing this hierarchy and then having to name the different bits of functionality helps you figure out what you're making, because you have to name what it's doing.
So that's one of the things that people attending the training will learn, is how to ask questions to identify what is known and what is not known.
Well, and so this is part of the thing, is that once you have things starting to be organized in this hierarchical list, then you can start, then the gaps start appearing, you know. You can sort of say, you can start seeing where you don't know something. Like if you have, we know we need a battery, well, what kind of battery are you going to choose, you know, and then you can put a placeholder, you can say, you know, battery chemistry, for example, and have a flag, and then, you know, the key, and then you just have a question mark for the value. You can make it, you know, they make it obvious that that hasn't been decided yet. But almost immediately you'll get to the point where you can start seeing the parts that are you're not certain about. And so this is the first, you know, and so it takes some time to sort of learn what are the different parts of functionality, how they define. And sometimes it's a little unclear. I mean, this is part of the thing, is that this is not, you have to sort of think about carefully what you're, you know, where you're at, what's going on in the product to make some of these decisions sometimes. So there's no, it's not that it's going to be a hard and fast rule about what is a characteristic and what is not, or what is a function and what is not. but you need it. You know you need to define it somewhere, and so you come up a situation that's specific to your product. You want to go through this process anyway and figure out whatever the answer is for that situation. That makes sense to the team and makes sense for the makes sense for the market and so forth. This way of organizing things hierarchically, it's a skill. It's definitely something that takes some time to, that's something you need to learn how to do. And then once you do, it's one of the starting points for learning this, doing the lean spec. That's one thing. Let's see. Does that resonate with you? Does it make sense? Does that seem like, and this is for me, this is what I've done. It's worked very, very well. But for you
I want to learn how to do that.
Yeah, okay. So
I'm not yet at the point at how do we teach that?
Yeah. So
to do it because you've already teach that in the Engineer Accelerator.
Yeah.
But how many sessions does it take?
Well, we do a quick overview sort of thing. The Engineer Accelerator were designed to sort of give people a lot of exposure to a lot of things very quickly, so they can get sort of sensitized to them and get some experience. It's just hands-on, basically, is part of what it's about. So I think that's the next sort of thing, is that you're hearing what I'm describing. Now let's try and figure out how would you, what would be a good way for you to learn it, So that's the skill. Now, what's the process of in the class of learning it? Part of this sort of thing is going through examples is always a good thing to do. Talking about. I had this sort of good thing about breaking down a radio alarm clock into this sort of these different levels. This sort of the product level, the device level, and the function and then feature of that. I have one. I have an alarm clock.
Essentially, you're deconstructing.
Yeah.
You're starting with a product that everyone can relate to.
Yeah, exactly.
Regardless, it's a consumer good. There's electronics involved.
Yeah, there's electronics, but there's also mechanical involved. There's UX involved.
How much software is involved?
There's usually not. It's usually all. There's basically no software involved. A lot of times, and now, of course,
deconstruct Nest.
So now there is, you have to do, whatever the thing is, it has to be simple enough that the next part of it, which is behavior, can be determined from the outside. Nest is great, but it's a lot of stuff internally that you couldn't see.
It's all invisible.
Invisible on the inside. So part of this thing
is... that's the issue, that software is invisible to the regular consumer, to someone outside of technology.
Yeah, so, but I think that, you can look at some alarm clock or something like that, or a toaster even or something, and you can determine its behavior is transparent because it's simple enough. That's the basic thing. You break down a product into these pieces and see, the best you can do, And then, this is part of where domain knowledge starts creeping in. This is part of the thing, is that there is going to be domain knowledge needed for your product manager. You will need some domain knowledge. And part of what this whole process of these talks is about figuring out the limit you need,
Or the level of experience. So can you be a newbie out of school who hasn't, built a product?
Yeah.
And get value from this course?
I would say that,
this process.
I think you can, for this sort of thing, it's, but what you'll be doing is the initial stuff. You'll be learning not only the process, but also the content behind it. And this is one of the big questions that I have, is how far to go. I have some ideas about the electrical side, and there's some ideas about the mechanical side, but for software, for example, that's an area that I don't know. There is no hard and fast line. The more you know, the easier it'll be to do. But you definitely don't need to know everything. you know, this is sort of something that's very interesting to through that that's
and also how
interesting to think about.
How I'm thinking about the Lean Spec is it's a shared organization-wide document.
Mm-hmm.
The engineer, different functions own different pieces of it, but it's transparent in that everyone contributes to it.
Well,
as a product manager isn't going to own it or necessarily be involved in it from inception unless it's a startup or smaller organization.
So that's where I sort of would say, I mean, we talked about it before, that for me, the product manager would want to understand
the entire
document at that high level. And so if there's parts they don't understand, then they go to those people and figure out what it is.
Right. But they can follow through. It lives as a almost a roadmap of the product development across all phases.
Yeah, well, but it's the sort of guiding thing, you know, the guiding sort of target you're trying to hit, and it could get adjusted a bit. But part of what the product manager's job is to make sure that it that all the pieces that are unknown get resolved.
I just thought of a nautical term.
Mm.
When you're sailing, you have a goal of where you want to get.
Yeah.
You do have a plan, and you are aware of the winds and the currents and the temperatures. But once you're in the boat, it's not going to go there directly.
Yeah.
So this is almost the nautical plan of how to get there, but you're going to document as you adjust on that.
Yeah,
on
and
that
so
map.
So the product manager may not be responsible for filling out the specifics of the information, but they are responsible for understanding what's in there, and responsible for resolving conflicts that come up, or making sure that unknowns that appear are resolved.
Right. And it also takes it out of it being a political issue to get this product through.
So just because you're, by translating it into, we have to fill out this documentation, or what do you mean?
Well, by translating it into, we have a shared collaborative process.
Yeah.
That isn't, it's not about dynamics of personality.
Mm.
It's not, that's going to mess it up. And that's always what the issue is, that someone has some, and it'll often be in a small organization, it'll often be the CEO keeps changing what it should be.
Yeah.
This is almost like we've documented the data that is driving where we're going.
Yeah.
And now if you're going to make a change, here you can see what the ramifications are going to be across all the things, which later gets translated into development man hours.
Yeah, well, man, and you know, budget and time. I mean, that's the thing, is that, you know, once you have it in place, you can map to budget and time directly per bit of functionality. So it's not, so you can sort of say, if we add that in, it will increase the time and budget by this amount, based on just in a marginal incremental sense.
And it also doesn't impede the development process. Development can be underway.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so it can be underway. And so this is the thing, is that, you know, you're trying to do this at the beginning, but sometimes things change, you know, when things are going on. And so you can have stuff that's build is happening, and then when something changes, then you can run down through the levels of the hierarchy again to see what the implications of those changes are. And it could go pretty quickly, you can make it go quickly to do that. But it does mean that there's a potential of anything in the lower levels could get abandoned or thrown away if it turns out that it conflicts with the change. So again, to sort of get back to this idea of, you want to learn this. So, you know, when you're hearing me talk about it, so what are the questions that come up for you about, you know, learning this process, learning this, well, there's this little bit of skill about sort of organizing a product hierarchically.
Well, as a product manager, I always want to know, well, what tools, what software am I using to document and communicate this?
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's really simple. I mean, this is basically, you can do this in a text file. You can do this in a simple indented text file. And so it's really lightweight is the key thing. You can use cut and paste, and, you know, all the search functionality, you can do that. And then if you can then, because it is in a text file, you can use all of the sort of code comparison tools.
Right, because version control is, yeah, is very important.
Yeah, version control is based on text, and this allows you to use GitHub directly and use all that versioning stuff that they have in there.
So discussing GitHub, which we've discussed a little bit, we've touched upon, will we be teaching how to use GitHub, or is this a requirement to people coming in that they have to be familiar with GitHub? And GitHub for product managers, GitHub for non-coders is different. Or has a different value.
Yeah, so I think that this is a new application of GitHub. I think it is something that we would cover this. It feels like, it's pretty limited. You know, you don't have to use a huge amount of functionality in GitHub or any versioning software. So I think that, in this sort of thing, I think it's definitely a plus. But if we're talking about people coming from very various different domains, they may not have used it. It's also new it's a new enough tool to use in product management that it may be something that people don't have experience with. So I think
they're
that
coming in from being a coder.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. Are those the ideal first cohorts for this training?
Yeah, I think that that's to be determined. I think. I'm not sure exactly. I mean, I think coders there's a whole bunch. That's the biggest market and some of the biggest range of people are people dealing with doing apps and coding of various kinds, web stuff, all sort of things like that. So I think that that's something that I think we definitely want to make it applicable to them. But I think it's that this so and they would probably have more experience with it than anybody else.
Well, and the other issue is, as a product manager, when I go into an organization, I assess what tools are they currently using that they're already familiar with.
Yeah.
Are they using Trello? Are they using aspects of the people who just bought Trello, the Australian company? What are they using to track features? Mm. What are do they have a product management tool that's tracking their roadmap? What is their project management tools? Or is this, I never want people on the team to have to learn something new because that impedes their buy-in to introducing yet another process.
Yeah, so I think version control is standard enough that I think people will have used some version control program. And I think that the benefit of being able to view design and documents or in a version control setup is so powerful that I think it is something worth teaching and worth bringing into the course, because it's something that I think could be taught pretty quickly. There is some startup stuff that you have to deal with, but once it's in there, then being able to, one of the biggest problems is having some issue that's lost, because it was written in one email and then that email was lost or something like that. And this, with being able to do this, you could pull out your, almost instantaneously, you could pull out your all the outstanding items from this. You could be, 100-page document potentially, and
that would be the antithesis of what we want to.
Well, but so I
achieve
with
a lean spec.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. That's the key point. Is that this may be something to be clear about. Is that even the simplest representation of a product, if we're talking about hardware, an app, web stuff, server backend, could be hundreds of pages long. Could be. And so that's
that may also be why this is so difficult.
Well, and so
that's overwhelming.
Well, but that's the point. That's the thing about organizing things in this hierarchical form, is that then you can zoom in just the part you're interested in and
that
have
chunk.
That chunk. And so you can ignore all the stuff you don't care about. And then by making it in a hierarchical form, it's then searchable. And then you can also, and then if it's in this text format, comparable. So it's searchable. So then you can then just search for what you're interested in. You don't have to scroll through hundreds of pages of a Word document to find the one thing. You can, and then scan through three or four paragraphs to find that little bit of thing you want. You can, this format means that you can just, it's really quick to search. And so, but this is one of the biggest things that I want to get across, is that even simple products are complicated.
Yeah.
And so I easily see, you know, the sort of stuff being, you know, 25 pages long of, or 10, 15, or whatever like that. But it doesn't feel like that.
Well, and because it's not, well, as you said, it's not full paragraphs. It's not prose.
It's not prose.
It's almost
so
code.
It's yeah, well, and in some ways, you can think of it like that. It's structured.
It's almost lines of code.
Yeah, it's structured, human-readable information.
It's product code.
Yeah, in some ways. And so,
right.
But it doesn't need to follow any hard syntax. So you can break the rules whenever you want, you know. But
I'm laughing because I recall COBOL, which
yeah.
nobody
yeah.
ever learns anymore.
Yes.
But there was something in COBOL that it was English language, and you had to define the terms at the beginning.
Yeah.
And of course, I loved it because it was so text-based, and
yeah.
And everyone hated it because it took so long. It was so clunky.
Yeah, so I would say that this is not designed, you know, that's clunky because it was trying to fit that system into what
it was
computers,
trying to match business, right,
computers
aspects,
could do.
Right,
and what you're trying, what you're doing is this is a document only to be used by humans, so you can make it work for what humans can do well.
Yeah.
But as I was saying, is that you may have a huge document, which is very good to know, because then you can really see the complexity of the thing you're trying to make. You know, you see the whole list.
And as opposed to it being in
separated
in
out.
Someone's head or in someone's siloed function.
Yes, in someone's siloed function. And so therefore, but then when you're using it, it doesn't feel like you're wading through this whole thing because you can just zoom into the one parts you need at that moment.
So in some ways, we're making all the aspects of the product across its technical life cycle, we're making
yeah.
it more transparent.
Well, and so I was,
and that, but then, which brings up an issue of privacy. What about, what if some of these aspects of it are patentable or under patent, or shouldn't, they're private. They shouldn't be available to the whole organization.
Well, I'll respond to two things. And then, so the first thing is that when you say cross technical life cycle, I would say that that's not what the lean spec is the beginning, and then eventually you get down into code and all sort of stuff like that, which will appear in other places.
And so it's
not like you have this one thing and it's everything in the product when it's being made. It's that you have this part and it will then maybe have links to other parts that are in different
so
domains.
It's a reference, it's a glossary?
Well, it starts as the store of information, but eventually you get down to details enough and more specialized knowledge that a text-based list doesn't apply.
Right.
And so in that
situation, it wouldn't be appropriate.
It wouldn't be appropriate. So in those situations, you then
perhaps have a reference to who's the owner of that
yeah,
that doesn't
and,
exist here.
Yeah, and so then, and what's going on
it's
there?
It's almost like what intranets used to be. And I used to develop intranets for huge organizations,
yeah.
and every department had ownership, and you could see perhaps the high-level stuff about them,
mm-hmm.
but all the details of what was going on was only available to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they had no impetus to share that with everyone
yeah.
else.
Yeah, so I would say that's that. So just to be clear about that, that this is not designed to be just the one document to rule them all. It's that this is, again, the starting point. It's this thing, and then you break it out to more detailed things that has more specialized formats going forward.
Excellent.
Good. So this is one of the first skills that I think is very applicable to any product, is this idea of organizing the functionality, features, behaviors, and interfaces, or the terms you like to use in your domain, into an order and into a hierarchy. That is a really important skill, because then it allows you to put that information into this very flexible format, and that you can then use going forward.
And the idea of taking a product and deconstructing it to demonstrate
mm-hmm.
how to build a lean spec,
yeah.
I think that's very powerful. It's accessible, and
mm-hmm.
it's visual, so
yeah.
people can grasp what the value is of a lean spec.
Yeah, cool.
Great.
So this is the first one. I think we can sort of see that how this will go. As we said, going forward, you know, we'll be doing more skills. And then we get into sort of domain level knowledge as well. And so one of the things we'll be talking about that's the other thing we'll be getting, sort of drilling down into more going forward.
Excellent.
Great.
Thank you, Malcolm. So if you'd like to listen to the previous series, you can access them at startupproduct.com under podcasts, or you could go to blogtalkradio.com/PRODMGMTTALK. That's blogtalkradio.com, Prod Management Talk, where you will also hear another podcast series by Chad McCullough on innovation in product development, product management. You can get in touch with me at Cindy@startupproduct.com and on Twitter at Cindy F. Solomon, as well as LinkedIn and everywhere online.
And you can reach me at engineeraccelerator@gmail.com.
We'd love to hear from you, get your feedback, and your questions about the Lean Spec process. Thanks, and see you soon, next week.
Next week.
Okay, great. Bye.